Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another hour to go here. BetSweats, BetMGM Network. We'll talk to Caroline Fenton coming up in about 20 minutes about some college football, but let's dive into it a little bit and some college hoops with our buddy Tom Casale from Sportsline, a college sports betting analyst over there at the Tom Casale over on X. Tom, the reaction to the CFP, that's certainly where we started. That's where a lot of people are going this morning, and the big changes. They protect Bama. They move Bama up to 9. They slot Notre Dame down a little bit. And then Miami's just kind of hanging out there in between Notre Dame, in between right there after BYU. So obviously that result will weigh heavily when it comes to the final bracket. But what was your reaction, if any, to what we saw last night?
Well, let me put it this way. When we saw Bama move up, my son said, oh, they moved him up just so they can make the playoffs. He's 10. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean, so okay. Even 10-year-olds know what the committee's doing. Listen, here's the thing I would say. If you want to have conference championship games still in this day and age to crown a champion, that's fine. But to say that the loser has to go to the playoffs, it's nonsense. Is Duke going to go if they lose? I think they just set a bad precedent last year by saying, you know, well, if you make, we want to reward you if you make it. Listen, put the best teams in. That's it. And I know the game happened in August, but SEC, you know, is bad law. They're talking about all their good losses. Didn't I see Alabama get run out of the stadium by 5-7 Florida State? And then they beat 5-7 Auburn and they move up. I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. They're putting the teams in they want in.
SEC bias, buddy. That's what it is.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I just think if Alabama loses with 3 losses, there's other teams that can make a claim to have that last spot. Miami, you know, I know Vanderbilt lost those 2 games, but man, it's too bad they're not in there. You know, this will go to 16 teams at some point. This would have been a great year for the 16 teams because there's a few teams on the outside I think could have made the playoffs interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting. As far as the conference championship games, though, is there one or two that you have circled that you really like?
Yeah, I think Virginia is going to win easy. At the last time they played, it was 34-17. The game wasn't that close. They had 540 total yards to Duke's 255. They had a couple of turnovers in that game. All season I kept waiting for Virginia to slide back, and they just did it. You know, they just kept winning. I don't think they're a great team. But, I think this number should be closer to 6, to be honest with you. And then it's hard to say this because they've lost 10 out of the last 11, but I just think Georgia's the better team right now. When they first played, I thought Alabama was the better team. But I think Georgia, when you go from that Tennessee game to now, is one of the more improved teams in the country. I just like the way they're playing on both sides of the ball, so I got to lean Georgia there.
What about the total, 47.5 in the SEC? Thoughts on that either way?
Yeah, I lean over in the SEC and under in the Big Ten. That's Alabama, Georgia, they usually start out fast. You know, the first halves in those games are usually pretty high scoring. So if that happens again, it's interesting because, you know, Alabama's offense, there's just something's not right with it. They're beating teams like LSU and Auburn, and they're barely scraping by. And it hasn't been the same offense that we saw earlier in the season. But I think it's gonna play well in this game, but I do like Georgia to win.
All right, what about the Big Ten title game? Anything there with Ohio State, Indiana? And so based on what you were pointing back to the committee's comments last year about not getting dinged if you end up losing, does that mean it's going to be 1-2 these Big Ten teams no matter what at the end?
I guess so. I mean, here's my question. It's like, what if Alabama or Indiana gets blown out, right? Like, the worst thing that happened last year was Dabo and Clemson let SMU back in that game in the fourth quarter. Let's be honest. Clemson blew SMU's doors off in that game. And then 10 minutes left, and SMU scores a couple of touchdowns and made it close. So I'm wondering what happens if Ohio State wins by 20 or Georgia, you know, wins by 20. Then I think the committee has a decision to make. This is a real tough game to call because when you look at it on paper, these two are like top five and everything. I think it's going to be close throughout. I lean Ohio State, similar to last year in the championship game against Notre Dame. I feel like their playmakers on the outside will make a play late in the game to give them a little room to breathe. So I have a lean to Ohio State here.
Speaking of blowouts and 20-point wins, I've got a buddy who's pretty close to the situation in James Madison. He doesn't work for the team or anything, but he's close to the team. And he said, whatever it is, lay it. And I'm like, man, that's a big number, 23.5. And he said, 23.5? Ha! He laughed. He laughed at 23.5, Tom. I don't know how to react to that. I mean, is he too close to it, or is he dead on? Is Troy going to get just blown out here against JMU?
I think they are, and here's why. It's 2025, and the Sun Belt still has divisions. Troy isn't the second best team in the Sun Belt. Old Dominion is. So this should have been James Madison versus Old Dominion. So now you're getting the third best team in the Sun Belt against the James Madison team that has to roll it up. I think Troy's in big trouble here. I don't think they're going to score much. And obviously, when James Madison gets a lead, this isn't a game where they're going to take the foot off the gas. It's a huge number. You know, maybe there's going to be other opportunities to bet it live in second half and stuff like that. But I think they cover it.
Did you have an opinion on Mountain West, Boise laying 4 against UNLV?
Yeah, you know, Boise has dominated this series, you know, and they blasted them earlier in the year. I look at this Boise team. It's obviously not the same team from last year. I think this is going to be a tight game. I know it was a blowout the first time, but I lean UNLV now that it's over a field goal.
If you had a Heisman vote, are you going Sayan, Pavia, Mendoza? Who are you voting for today?
He's not going to win it, but I would vote for Diego Pavia because what they've done at Vanderbilt is one of the most amazing things I've seen since Snyder went to Kansas State and turned them into a perennial power. It's so hard to win there. And listen, he's not going to win it because he had to win one of those two games from Alabama or Texas. I get the argument. You know, he had to win one of those two. But I just think he's been sensational all year. I think Mendoza's out if he doesn't make that pass against Penn State. I know that was a great play at the end. There just hasn't been any clear. I don't think, and no one's blown me away this year. You know, like I think Mendoza and Sayan have been good, but I don't think most years they would win the Heisman. But I think, in my opinion, I think Saban had to have like a huge, huge game against Michigan. I know it wasn't his fault that they'd had a lead and the weather was bad, but when he didn't have a massive game or a Heisman moment there, I think it's Mendoza now.
I don't know, Tom. We were talking about this yesterday, and Sam was pointing out Pavia goes from 6-1 down to, at some places, shorter than 2-1 right now as a second favorite over the last couple of days without a sample size. We know he doesn't have another game, and I get that, but he's jumped saying Love, certainly he's done now, and he doesn't have another game. And Sam was bringing up Felica's points, and it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to the Heisman time, we break things down by regions, and you've got three guys in the Midwest, right, kind of stealing from each other with Mendoza, Love, Sayin, and then, you know, Pavia is going to get love from the South. Pavia is going to get love from the West. Like, I don't think it's a crazy idea.
No, that's a good point. And again, I don't think Sayin or Mendoza have played to the point where they, you know, they're locks, right? And listen, I did a story years ago on Heisman voters, and people would be shocked to find out when they actually make their decisions and how they vote. They would be. I don't know if it's the same now. This was like 15 years ago, but they don't make their decisions till late in the season, and sometimes they have real biases towards people and teams. Mm-hmm. So Pavia has the narrative, right? People love him. They love his moxie. They love the story. He's got the story behind him with Vanderbilt. So it wouldn't shock me if he snuck up and won it.
Tom Casale with us on Bet Sweats. That's college football. I know you've been watching a lot more college basketball, though. For somebody that hasn't watched much and asks you the question, what have I missed in the first month and change? What are some of the bullet points you'd respond with?
Yeah, well, I know when I was on your show before the season, I mentioned I think when healthy, UConn's the best team. I think the way they play defense when they have all their players, they didn't have their full team until they played Illinois on Saturday. And they blasted them, and then they just won at Kansas. So I think they're the best team. You know, I know Florida started out slowly, but last night I thought was a good spot to buy low on Florida, and they almost beat Duke. You know, keep an eye on Florida as the season goes on. I think they're going to be fine. Gonzaga's look great. I think they're still a little overvalued. They love to go to these, you know, tournaments in November and win. We'll see what happens there. And, you know, Kentucky is struggling right now. They don't have their full lineup in. So we'll see how that goes. Louisville is really good. And if you're looking for a mid-major, watch out for George Mason. They have power conference players there that Tony Skinn has recruited to George Mason through the transfer portal. They're really, really good. That's the one mid-major team right now I could see winning a game or two in the tournament.
So we both love futures. Have you bet futures on any of those teams that you're talking about? Or is that like a list of, okay, this is what I've seen, keeping a close eye. I'm still kind of going through those waters and figuring out when I want to jump.
Yeah, I like George Mason to win the A-10 at 10-1. It's around that number. I think that's a good number for them. I'll be honest with you. I screwed up on UConn. Their schedule was so tough. I didn't bet them preseason because I was like, boy, this is a monster schedule. They're going to lose a couple of these games, and I might be able to get a better number. I don't think that's going to happen now. So I'm still looking at them. And again, I think there's some value on Florida. Remember, they lost a lot of like team leaders, right? People don't look at that aspect. They look at production. I always look like, does the team lose like leadership? If they do, it might take them a couple months to round in a form. New guys step up as the leaders. And, you know, I think that's a team right now that even though they lost to TCU, they lost to Florida, they didn't look great against Florida State. When the SEC comes around, I think Florida is going to be right in the mix again.
I had a buddy who doesn't really watch a lot of college ball. And granted, Joe and I have been so wrapped up in football, NFL, and college. I haven't watched as much as I'd admit. Or like to admit, rather. But he texted me, he goes, you got to bet Michigan to win the title. And then I'm like, okay, well, there's a reason for this. And then I pulled up their schedule. They beat Auburn by 30, Gonzaga by 40, and they're favored to win the title. So when a guy like that texts you, everybody knows at that point, right? That Michigan's pretty good.
Yeah, what they did in that three-day span, I don't know if I've seen that before. Just hammering three like good teams by 30. That was really impressive, I'll admit. But again, that now the value's gone, right? Now Michigan's the favorite right now. You know, they still got to play Purdue. They still got to play Michigan State. One of the things about these, you know, these games in the Bahamas and Hawaii, I don't try to overreact to them. Because a team can get – it's the same thing as the NCAA tournament. A team can get hot in one of those neutral court, you know, those neutral site tournaments. And I'm not saying Michigan isn't a good team, but they still got a lot of tough games throughout the season. So if you do like Michigan, I think you'll get a better number than this.
Tom, before we let you go, I want to get some quick thoughts, if you have any, on the Saturday matchups. Because if the 11 a.m. football games aren't interesting to you, we got some monster games in college hoops. You've got Duke and Michigan State. You've got Purdue and Iowa State, both at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central Time. And then at night, Illinois and Tennessee. Anything on any of those games?
Yeah, I like Purdue at home. This feels like a game where they lock down Iowa State, and Iowa State shoots like 28% from the field. You know, the Cyclones have those games. It's a bad matchup for Iowa State because Purdue doesn't turn the ball over. And when Iowa State isn't getting in transition, they can struggle to score. And I think, you know, initially I liked Illinois plus the points, but Tennessee lost at Syracuse. So now they're coming home after that loss. I think that's going to be a tough game for Illinois. Tennessee might beat them up in the paint, but I really like Purdue on Saturday.
All right, good stuff. Tom Casale at the Tom Casale over on X. Check him out over at Sportsline and CBS Sports Network. Thank you so much, Tom. Best of luck this weekend. Caroline Fenton on the other side. This is BetSweats, the BetMGM Network.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It feels like every time I look up during a break, oh, we got another coach hired in college football. Another coach is leaving in college football. The news has not stopped, and no, we're waiting on the conference championship games, and then we get that reveal one more time for the college football playoff. Welcome back. It is BetSweats Joe O. Sammy P here with you on a Wednesday morning BetMGM Network. Now joining us, Caroline Fenton from Yahoo Sports. Check her out on Yahoo Sports Daily. I'm assuming no lack of content there, Caroline, on the show, just like us here.
I'm so tired. I am so overwhelmed in the best possible way. That is like 0% of me complaining and more so just like an effective drinking coaching news from a fire hose. And it comes from my own personal fandom. If you know, it's hard to ignore the bright golden helmet behind me. So it's me being emotionally invested into my own team's coaching search. It's every time, like you said, I open my phone, every time I open up Twitter or ESPN.com, it's this coach is going there and Colin Klein is returning to Kansas State and Kalani Sitake is going to stay at BYU and who the hell is going to coach Penn State? I don't know. That's a great question. It is the best time of year. It really is. I live for this. We all do. We love the drama. But I'm also like, hey, we have football games this weekend. Let's not forget. Like, football is still happening in college.
Is Lane going to just get every good player in that New Orleans, Louisiana region now? Is that what's going to happen going forward?
He better. That's the reason why he came to LSU, right? Or at least what he was telling us why he came to LSU was not just the pageantry and the pomp and the circumstance. It's not just 65,000 people in the stadium for the Egg Bowl, which was fewer than the capacity at Tiger Stadium when LSU was playing, you know, a 4-5 Arkansas team that didn't have a head coach. It's not just all of that. It's also, I have to think, how easy it is to recruit at LSU. You are smack dab in the middle of the most talent-saturated area, not even state, but area in South Louisiana with Lafayette and Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Like, that is like shooting fish in a barrel. So many of those kids grow up wanting to play for LSU. It doesn't matter if LSU is terrible. It doesn't matter who's coaching LSU. Those kids grow up and want to go to LSU. No longer do you have to, you know, work with Mississippi State or, you know, in Florida when you're competing with Miami and Florida State, now South Florida, now that they've been on the national map. You don't really compete with anybody else in the state of Louisiana. So I have to think that's why he came there. So I think that locking down the state of Louisiana is and should be, not just for Lane Kiffin, but for anybody who's the head coach at LSU, is to lock down the state of Louisiana. And Lane's a great recruiter. He's been able to recruit a ton of talent to Ole Miss, but a lot of that talent came through the transfer portal. So how does Lane prioritize recruiting out of high school and keeping in-state talent in-state? That's a big question that I have.
Outside of all the drama, and there was a lot of it, and there's still more to come probably. Yeah. What I was most interested in, and I do take everything that Lane says with a huge grain of salt. Mm-hmm. He's a known liar. People have been talking about this for decades. You can go back to Al Davis when he was talking about it. But something that he was talking about at his press conference was, okay, all the offers, it's all the same. There's one thing that's different at LSU. And he wasn't kissing the ass of any president or anything about how great it is here. There's some of that. But it was about the money for the players. Oh, how far we've come. He was just straight up about that. The difference was LSU had more money for the best players out there than any other school that was talking to me. I found that to be fascinating that he would put it out there, even though we know this is the reality now. For him to put it out there at a press conference was fascinating.
It's the sign of the times. Just like a five-star quarterback flipping from Georgia to Vanderbilt. It is a different world that we're living in college sports. And it's true. The NIL money that's available to LSU was richer than it was at Ole Miss. And I think another thing that's important to point out as well is now that we're entering the clearinghouse era of NIL, you're going to have every NIL deal go through the clearinghouse and say, okay, check, yes, it's kosher. That is a true, legitimate, you know, quid pro quo NIL deal. And of course you have, you know, rev share as well, but with the clearinghouse, LSU has such a strong social brand. Look at Livy Dunn. Livy Dunn was a kind of middle-of-the-road gymnast on that LSU team who is now a multi-millionaire because of the brand she was able to build at LSU. I look at Angel Reese. Both of them, they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They were the focus of an Amazon docuseries about NIL. You look at, like, if you watch a game on Sundays, you're going to watch not just any other old LSU player. Like, you're going to watch an LSU player that is a household name in the National Football League, whether it's Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Derek Stingley Jr. I mean, there is so much talent just in the NFL alone. And you look at the big broad landscape of sports as a whole, It's hard to argue that there's a bigger social media brand that you can build upon than LSU has. And I think that's a big feather in LSU's cap that, frankly, there's not a knock on Ole Miss, but Ole Miss doesn't have that same kind of brand weight that, let's say, the Texases, the Alabamas, the LSUs have.
As for the games on Saturday, the two big ones we know, Big Ten, SEC, Ohio State's a 4.5-point favorite on Indiana. Georgia, 2.5-point favorite on Alabama. Where do you want to start?
We can start in the SEC championship game. That's where I'll be this weekend, heading to Atlanta tomorrow afternoon. And I know that history is not on Georgia's side. Kirby Smart is 1-7 against Alabama, which is made even more wild when you look at the fact that he is 115-13 against everybody else. There is this kind of like Alabama bugaboo that's been hanging over Kirby Smart and this Georgia program. But I'm still going to take Georgia to win, and I'm still going to take Georgia to cover the 2.5. I might be wrong on that, but if I'm wrong betting on Kirby Smart, so be it, because I've been wrong so many times betting against Kirby Smart. And I think this game feels wildly different this go around than it did maybe earlier in the season. It felt like Georgia and Gunnar Stockton primarily were still kind of figuring things out early in the season. Remember, it went to overtime against Tennessee. They were down 21-7 at halftime or near halftime. They were just kind of barely skating by and barely winning games early in the season. Gunnar Stockton has gotten significantly better week over week. It feels like he has a really good grasp of what he wants to do in this offense and what's asked of him. And then add on top of the fact that he has just incredible high football IQ and he has just kind of like football guy mentality. I think that Georgia's pass rush is going to be stifling. I think the defense has gotten better week over week. And we've seen Alabama maybe take a couple of steps back. Like I heard Hunter Yurecek on the College Football Playoff reveal show last night that, hey, they were up 21 points on Auburn. Yeah, they were also tied with Auburn, a team that's not even making a bowl game and moved on from their coach midway through the season. So I think that Georgia right now is the hotter team. I think that Georgia right now is the team that's gotten better week over week. And just frankly, the team that I trust more and the coach that I trust more. But I think either way, there's been a lot of discussion about a 3-loss, 10-3 Alabama team getting in. We saw the College Football Playoff Committee last night tell you that even a 10-3 Alabama team with a loss in the SEC championship game is still going to get in. And whoever wins that game, I think will have a first round bye.
With Caroline Fenton of Yahoo Sports, the ACC praying that Virginia wins this game against Duke. Will they?
I think so. I mean, they are. I mean, the ACC is praying for their playoff lives. I look at the JMUs out there that are probably cheering for Duke louder than any other Duke fan ever has in their history. But I feel like Virginia has quietly been a really solid football team, really, for the entirety of this season. I think, though, it is criminal that Miami is not in this game. I think it is such a clear and obvious flaw in the College Football Playoff system that we have a 4-loss Duke team that has a path to competing for a championship. That is such a disservice to the Vanderbilts of the world, to the Miamis of the world, to the Texases of the world that are on the outside looking in and probably don't have a path to breaking into that top 12. So I do think Virginia will be able to get it done. I really do. But this whole ACC championship game as a whole, frankly, just makes me so frustrated for the current system that we're in. In no world should Miami be left out of a conference championship game over a 4-loss Duke team.
5 losses. 7-5.
5 loss. Thank you. I was giving them more credit than they deserved.
Yes.
I know. I was like,
crazy.
I want to kind of accentuate her point.
Yes.
5-loss Duke team.
It's ridiculous. Crazy. Most teams fire their head coaches when they go 7-5. Duke's go into the conference championship game.
So you brought up Miami. The pitchforks are out on both sides, Miami, Notre Dame. If you're on the committee and you have to pick one or the other, I have no idea what you're going to say, but I'm curious. Who do you take of the two?
Yeah, I mean, the committee has said that this is one of the most hotly, Notre Dame, Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, one of the most hotly contested two teams in this College Football Playoff race. And I understand why. Notre Dame looks like the better team right now. Notre Dame has gotten better week over week. Miami's regressed a little bit. But Notre Dame was number 10 in the playoff rankings last night. Miami was number 12. And they're discussing and debating it a lot. If it's that close, wouldn't it be great if we had a head-to-head result to maybe like help us out a little bit here? Oh, wait, we do. We do have a head-to-head result. Miami beat Notre Dame point blank period. And yes, it was a long time ago. Yes, it was the beginning of the season. Yes, Notre Dame does look like a much improved and much better team than they did at the beginning of the season, but it still happened. Now, Miami, don't lose to Louisville at home. If you don't want your resume to be picked apart and put under a microscope, don't lose games that you have no business losing. But still, I think head-to-head should matter. I think scheduling these tough non-conference, you know, power four games should matter as well. But I think head-to-head should matter. And if it's that close, if the data points are so close and the resumes are so reminiscent of one another that we can debate it this much, then head-to-head has to be the tiebreaker.
I'm really concerned that a lot of schools are going to do what's already happening in the SEC, and I understand it. If I'm Texas, I'm not scheduling Ohio State again, so I'm out. Like, you could point to the losses.
They're out
like
because
Florida.
They lost to Florida.
I know, but okay. What if they have two losses? Are they in the SEC? I think they're in.
I think they're in because they have that win over A&M, and that's a better win than any other team on the bubble has. But don't lose. They don't have two losses. You know, we can play the what if game all day long, but they did lose to a Florida team that fired their coach. That's a bad loss. I don't think they're going to be, they're being penalized for losing to Ohio State. Just like I don't think Notre Dame is being overly penalized for losing to Miami. In fact, I think that's actually a positive thing on Notre Dame's resume is that they're getting incentivized for scheduling those difficult, I mean, non-conference, obviously every game is non-conference for Notre Dame, but those difficult power four games. I think Texas is where they are in the rankings because they went on the road to Ohio State in a very narrow loss. I think they'd be much further down the line if they didn't have that. And let's say they, you know, they were a three loss team with a win over, you know, butt crack State University.
Ah, butt crack State, my favorite. Yeah.
G5 powerhouse.
Everybody wants more teams, 16 teams, 24 teams. If this was a four-team playoff, it would be so easy to just pick the top four and move on. Like, I want less. I don't want more. And maybe that's a hot take, but I don't need 24 freaking teams in the playoff, Caroline.
I don't need it. And it is funny how every time we have a new iteration of the college football postseason, we yearn for what we used to have. You know, when we had four teams, it was like, oh, the BCS was so good. Let's just make computers decide. And then now that we have 12 teams, we're like, well, we could really just use four. And then inevitably, when the playoff expands to 16 and 24, and I don't know, why don't we just go ahead and expand to 68? We're all going to be looking back on the times when it really felt fair and right and justified. And everyone is going to feel wronged if they're on the outside looking in. I saw Diego Pavia pleading to Donald Trump, asking him to expand the playoff. Like, is that really where we are right now in college football? Like, if you're 14, you're going to feel wronged. In a 16-team playoff, if you're 18, you're going to feel wronged. But are all of these teams legitimate national championship contenders? Throw resume, throw deserving out the window. Are you good enough to compete for a national championship? Yes or no? Those are the teams that should be in the playoff.
But did Diego Pavia's mom do any begging to President Trump like this? Yeah.
How much pull does Theo Vaughn have?
I'm leaving.
The extension of the playoff. That's the real question. Diego Pavia's mom might just be the unsung hero of college football. Who would have thought?
That's right. That's right. More
job. Who thunk it?
Final.
So Joe froze and Sam left. So thanks for joining us, Caroline.
What a show this is.
Been great to have you. And good luck with Lane.
And awesome. Thank you
go
so
Georgia because I've got a Georgia future. So let's go Dogs.
Well, go Dogs for that. Enjoy the championship games this weekend. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Caroline. All right, we'll be back with more Bet Sweats and Lightning Bets after this. This has been
Paul,
great.
We have 15 seconds. Can we just talk about how stupid this show is?
Oh, this is perfect, actually. Yeah. How many? 10? 9? 8? Yeah. All right, Lightning Bets next. I'm on the Lions tomorrow. How about you, Jake? Bye.
Lions always.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a perfect way to end this segment. The one moment on this entire show of 3 hours, can't have internet fail. Internet fails right before we go to break, and it happens like the moment after you took your headphone off as we're about to go to break, because it didn't matter. Crazy.
I thought I handled that great.
I was not coming back.
I thought about turning the corner and coming back, but I figured no. Paul and Jake would figure it out, and they did.
There you go.
Can I put that on my resume reel?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was your tryout.
Yeah. All right.
Ooh, Joe, my favorite part of Paul's toss, Jake says, Paul, we still have 15 seconds. And then Paul just starts 10, 9, 8.
Oh, Jesus. Down.
Yes.
That's not good.
The best.
It's like the start of a podcast that or everybody posts on social media now, where it's, I think it's like StreamYard. It starts at 30. I'm like, really? Can we get the countdown starting at 10 or 5 or something? We got to do it at 30. It looks like you're looking at a sky of stars. Stupid.
It's bad producing. It's bad producing.
I start mine at 60, so I feel seen.
60-second countdown?
Well, here's why. You have to go live, and then you have to make sure all the streams are live. That's my excuse.
When I go live
on StreamYard, I have to make sure it's on this Twitter, that Twitter, YouTube Live.
Got to make
sure the ticker's working. Because if you had like more than one person on my show, it'd be different. But if you're doing everything, you need 60 seconds feels like 20. And then you're like, we're live, and like the ticker's not up, or you're not live on Twitter or whatever.
Because you're producing and hosting.
Spelled wrong. Yeah, yes. Producing, hosting, directing, booking. Yeah, all that.
I will say, man, 6 minutes or how long are our breaks? I don't know if I've ever figured that out. But like 5-6 minutes compared to like, what, 2-2.5 in TV? Holy hell, it's a lifetime. It's amazing. Like, you got to figure out so much stuff in 2 minutes when you're producing TV. Well, maybe I'll find out again.
You have a lot more breaks, though, right? Per hour?
No.
No. Yeah.
You have 3 breaks an hour? That's it?
No, there's more, but it might be 4 and the term break, like, at the end. So it's only, like, one more.
Well, I'm trying to think, because we did that half-hour show on Nessun, and we'd come out
at
5.
Two internals.
We'd break at like 08 or 09 and then break again at 20 and then be done at 27:50 or whatever.
30 or 50, yeah.
So that's 3 breaks in a half hour.
Yeah.
Well, the third break is the end of the show.
Right.
So like for an hour, probably four internals in the
so
end.
So the breaks are it's probably the same amount of commercials.
Can
it's
we
just cut in half?
Can we follow up with a question here, Paul? Paul, how long have you been producing this show?
It's going to be 4 years and 7 months, not 5 years, I guess.
And you still don't know how long the breaks are.
They're in the rundown, Sam. And Gertch and Jake are all over it.
Like, wow, classic. This is interesting. Yes. It just hit him after almost 5 years that these breaks are a lot longer than when he was in TV.
No, I'm saying I've appreciated it. You get so yes. much more done. You get to step away.
Yeah.
You get to, I don't know, whatever.
Joe had to rescue
Ponder
bird
life.
Yeah. One of the breaks.
Yeah, you can get a bird out of a filter. You can't do that when you got a 2 minute break.
All the time. Yes.
Make your dog puke up whatever he just ate. Clean
bother
it up,
my wife
and still get back.
She starts yelling at me because she's on a work call and I start messing with her. Like, yeah, got to do that. Oh, man. What do we want to talk about? Oh, yeah. Did you see our tweet from Slapjack in a reaction to our college football playoff conversation that we both received?
No.
I'm at Joe Ostrowski, Sam at SP Shoot. Guys, love the show, but we have to stop with the ND bull blank. To say Notre Dame is a better team is wrong. They lost to Miami. It doesn't matter what the bleeping projected number would be now. Maybe it's Chris Felica. It's his burner.
Could be. Okay, so if Miami is better than Notre Dame, why does every poll have Notre Dame ahead of Miami?
Yes.
Every single poll. AP, coach, CFP, Vegas odds makers say Notre Dame is better. I got Matoy Pearson's numbers right here. He's got Notre Dame 4 points better than Miami. Like, just because it happened one time doesn't mean it's the grand equalizer of all things. It's not.
Okay, so what if that game happened last week? Is it a different
Miami's
conversation?
In. Yes, 100%.
Yes.
That's a freshman quarterback making his first ever start on the road, and they almost won. And we bet Miami in the game. Like, that's the craziest part. Like, if anybody has a right to be selfish or biased on this stupid argument, it's me. Because I will financially gain from Miami making the playoff. I will make $2,000. And I'm sitting here saying Notre Dame is better. Notre Dame should be in.
Wouldn't you also financially gain with Texas?
Yes.
Too? And you're not making that argument. Like, there are people making that argument. But you understand the reality of the situation. I do disagree with Caroline on that. I'm like, if I'm Texas, I'm not scheduling Ohio State again. Like, in their mind, they got screwed. And they have the resume as far as the quality of wins. And they got hurt for scheduling Ohio State when they didn't have to go out and schedule Ohio State. They can do what Alabama does. They can do what Ole Miss does with the penultimate game of the season, just some garbage team where they don't even put the point spread on the board. That's a lot of SEC games a couple weeks ago. Nothing was on the board because of their opponent. Was it Ole Miss? They played Eastern Illinois. Like, that's what you're going to see more of. That's reality. Oh, three losses, you're out. Well, why schedule tough teams? And so that's something else that the committee is trying to balance. I understand where you're coming from, Slapjack, but it is not that simple. We have more information now. Why wouldn't you use the more information instead of deciding everything like it was decided 10, 15 years ago? That's insane to me, especially when the game happened in August, when Notre Dame had a bad defense, when they didn't know about this quarterback. So there you have it. Have you had crumble cookie?
Very good. I love
Excellent.
A crumble.
So are they in every city?
Definitely the big cities.
Yeah. So I asked that question, obviously, because Crumble Cookie played a major factor in what's happening with BYU and Penn State. And Penn State swinging and missing once again. 24 hours ago, we were sitting here like, who's going to be the Penn State coach? I don't know. I guess it's going to be Satake, but that was coming to Clearview last night, and it came out that, nope, he's staying at BYU. A couple of the biggest boosters, including the owner of Crumble Cookie, got involved to up the ante. So Satake's staying with BYU. It doesn't matter what happens in this weekend's game, whether they're in the playoff or not. He is staying, and Penn State misses out again. What the hell are they going to do? I'm hearing people talk about Daboll. I'm hearing people talk about Mike Tomlin. That if the Steelers actually fire Tomlin, look at what Tomlin could maybe do in college football, and he could go in go to Penn State, make that transition. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, man. You went over the list earlier. It's a lengthy one of the names that have been talked about for Penn State, and they said, not interested. I've got a better opportunity.
So Crumble has been in the news multiple times in the last 48 hours. There were people from BYU sending Crumble cookies to Penn State's athletic director, which is very funny. And Then Jake told us that James Franklin was bringing Crumble cookies to Virginia Tech. So it's a great week to be a Crumble cookie investor, huh?
Man. Yeah, and I was actually there maybe a week ago with my daughter, and what they charge, I see why the guy's a multi-billionaire that has the money. But they are delicious. It's awesome. Of course, my wife has a rewards number there. I'm like, yeah, of course we do. But what a business. What a smart way to go about things. Damn. I just need to come up with a business like that. That's it. You know, now they have – somebody sent me a picture of this yesterday. I've talked about the gas and washes in my area. They're like everywhere. Now they have taco trucks inside the gas and washes. I'm like, why didn't I come up with that idea? Always missing out.
Because that's what you need at the car wash. Tacos. After you get your car cleaned, let's eat tacos and spill them out all over the car.
They've got everything. Some of them have fried chicken places in there. The ones by me have Beggar's Pizza, like, in a hot oven that they're selling in there. They've got a hot dog station, the Vienna beef hot dogs, for like a dollar. It's like the Costco price for like $1.50 or $2. It's wild, man. You go to the gas station. Oh, and by me, the slots, the old people in the slots area all day. They sit there all day on those slot machines. They must be making a killing, man. They have everything at the gas station now.
Maybe we should work there.
Might be. You think I haven't been thinking? The wheels are turning. Like, I don't know what's next. I might be at the gas station. Damn it. All right. What?
If I go to a taco truck and Joe O is in the back cooking up meat for tacos, I'm walking away.
Walking away? Jake, you're not going to buy?
No.
Jake, there's your weight loss plan. There it is. That's how you get food.
Food poisoning from Joe O's taco truck?
Yes.
You wouldn't trust me?
I'd invest.
It's not a you thing, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not work. I'm not. Do you honestly? I've thought about this a lot. Like every time I go shopping, like I was in the grocery store, I'm like, wait a second. Am I going to be stocking shelves in a couple months? Am I going to be like that guy? And I saw a guy yesterday. He was so frustrated.
Give me Joe at a Trader Joe's. Has to be nice to everybody.
Trader Joe. In the Hawaiian shirt. Trader Joe. Kill me. Kill me. No. Yeah, and it's my name. Like, yeah. There's a cookie Joe O, too. It's a cereal. It's like their Cheerios. Joe O's they have there. No, I can't. I can't deal with any of that. But yeah, no. I was watching a guy yesterday. He was all frustrated putting up like the sea salt, and he couldn't find it. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be me in a couple months. Anyways, did you have a bet, Sam? Sorry.
Yeah, let me give you one lightning bet because that's what you're here for. Eagles to win, Georgia to win this weekend, plus 185.
Good stuff. Can you tell it's near the end? Who cares?
Go Birds.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow here on Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.